Welcome to the City Beautiful Church podcast. Thank you for taking the time to join our family as we strive to live together in heavenly reality. For more great content, visit us online at citybeautiful.ch.
We are wrapping up a series called In the Name of Jesus that we've been in for several months. As a community, I don't think we're capable of the church series that go like, we're going to do 3 Sundays just on this one topic. We're like, we're going to do 13 Sundays and we have no idea where we're going to go. And everybody's going to get it frustrated at everybody at some point because we all have opinions. But by golly, we're going to do it as the church and we're going to get through it. So we've been in this series called In the Name of Jesus. We're exploring, like, what does it mean to live a life that is worthy of the calling that's been placed on us as followers of Jesus? What does that really look like in terms of, and this is an oversimplification, but in terms of our ethics, how do we personally conduct ourselves, not just in a relationship to one another within the church, but how we conduct ourselves in the world? And then secondly, in what justice means, which is we hear a lot about justice in our modern era and these questions of what do we mean when we say justice? And for us as Christians to say our primary starting point is to participate with what we believe God is trying to do in the world. And that shapes our acknowledgement of what real justice is, that God's justice is restorative. God's justice is about bringing things back into a certain created order, that we have to know that about him in order to partner with him for that. And so we're finishing out this series today with testimony. So I'm going to kind of briefly recap the year, and then we're going to open it up for some of you to come and to share what it is that you perceive that the Lord has done for you or through you in this year. And I know that could be really scary, and I'm asking you even now, like, put your ego aside. It's not about you. It's about him. That's what testimony is all about. So that's where we're going to be headed today. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to read our scripture for today. So Heavenly Father, we testify the truth that you're here, that you are with us. And a lot of times we don't feel like you're with us. We feel alone. But Lord, your presence to us is greater than our own senses. As it says in your scriptures, that even if our heart condemns us, we know that you are greater than our hearts. But Lord, not only are you with us, you're also for us. And a lot of times we don't feel like that's true. We feel like we've stepped too far out of your bounds of your love. We feel like you are against us or at least indifferent to us. But again, Lord, we praise you that it doesn't matter in a way what we feel. We know who you are. We know that because time and again, you've revealed yourself to us. And especially in these last days through your son, Jesus Christ. And so Father, I pray that spirit would guide this whole gathering today, that we would be enlivened to recognize your fingerprint throughout our stories and the stories of those to whom you have bound us in this community. And that we would leave this place strengthened and encouraged by what we know of you to be true, so that we can look to the future, not with a sense of anxiety, but with hope, knowing that you are the one that is guiding us into your certain future. And so may the words of my lips and the meditation of all of our hearts be ever pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to invite you to stand with me, and we're going to read Psalm 40 responsively by half verse. So remember, we did this a couple weeks ago. This is the way the Psalms were written, were to be call and response, that it's an act of worship, that we're praying these words together as a community. And as we do so, it's continually binding us to the narrative of God. So this is Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. He set my feet on a rock. He put a new song in my mouth.
A hymn of praise to our God.
Many will see and fear the Lord.
And put their trust in him.
Blessed is the one
who trusts in the Lord.
Who does not look to the proud.
To those who turn aside to false gods.
Many, Lord my God,
are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us.
None can compare with you. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire.
But my ears you have opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require.
Then I said, here I am, I have come.
It is written about me in your scroll.
I desire to do your will, my God.
Your law is within my heart.
I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly.
I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know.
I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness.
From the great assembly.
Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord.
Your love and faithfulness always protect me.
For my troubles without number surround me.
My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see.
They are more than the hairs of my head.
And my heart fails within me.
Be pleased to save me, Lord. May all who want to take my life,
be put to shame and confusion.
May all who desire my ruin,
be turned back to disgrace.
May those who say to me, aha, aha,
be of all that bear on shame.
You guys get that, right? Does that make sense to you? They're not like quoting a Swedish pop band. Like it's an accusational, like, aha, okay? Just want to make sure we're getting that. But may all who seek you, may those who long for your saving help always say,
the Lord is great.
But as for me, I am poor and needy.
May the Lord be with me.
You are my help and my deliverer.
You are my God. Do not delay.
The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
You can be seated. We began this series here, to live in the name of Jesus is to testify with our lives to the reign of the King in this new heavenly world. That this isn't merely a claim that we make, like an intellectual claim, but it's something that we live out. We participate in this reality, that the way in which we think, feel, and act, the way we conduct ourselves in our responsibilities to one another as the church, as the body of Christ, but our responsibilities to the world at large speak to what we believe is true about the God revealed in Jesus. This week, I was reminded that the word remember, to remember is to bring things back together in the present, right? To like, it's opposite being to dismember is to take something apart, but to remember it is to bring it back together. And in the Jewish tradition, remembrance is a huge part of their faith. That we see through all of their annual rhythms, the festivals, the public reading of scripture, it's always about remembrance. But for them, we tend to think of remembrance as like, oh, Jesus did this thing 2,000 years ago, and wasn't that nice, and I really hope it works out for us because that thing happened. But for them, to remember is to recall what God has done in the past in order to make it true again in the present. That's why remembrance is such a huge part of the Jewish tradition and why it should be a part of our Christian tradition if we weren't so kind of addicted to manifest destiny and always like constantly moving forward and always thinking about the future. But we slow down from time to time. We think about the past, but we think about it and we're recalling what God has done in the past, and we're bringing it into the present moment and saying, if that is what God has done in the past, then God can do that again. And then when we begin to think about the future, we're not doing it from a place of anxiety. We're not just kind of all these, like we were talking about last week, like kind of wistful thinking, wouldn't it be nice if God did these sorts of things? But we recall the character of God and we say, ah, yes, I know what God is like because what I've witnessed in my own life, in the life of those to whom God has bound me. And so when we look together at the future, it's not an anxiety, but it's a strong, as we said last week, even absurd and ridiculous belief that God is who God says God is and that God is going to do what God has said God is going to do. And so that's the importance of us periodically taking time to slow down and to give testimony, to speak to one another about our actual encounters with Jesus, not just to exchange ideas, not just to trade sentimentalities, but to say, no, this is the actual tangible evidence that God has moved within our community and through our community that will give us confidence for looking to 2024. So I want to give kind of a brief recap of our year. I'm going to give you space for all of you to kind of sit and remember what it is that God has done for you this year. And then we're going to open it up for people to come and to share. So as we do every year, many of you know this, we gather our leaders, elders, staff in October of each year. And we have a kind of reflective workshop where we're asking these sorts of questions. What is it that God is stirring in our community right now? And what do we perceive is on the horizon? And everybody kind of spends some time in prayer. They begin to share their responses. And then my role is to really kind of find the common thread to say, I think this is kind of what God is doing. And I love the way that we do vision for this reason, because it feels like God to speak something over our community that we don't know what it means. It's not prescriptive. It's not even descriptive. It's kind of like, it's something that is meant to like ignite our divine imagination. And so we enter into each year, like the Israelites in the desert, you know, when God sends cornflakes to feed them and they call it manna. And does anybody know what manna means? Yeah, it's a question. What is it? So God speaks and he says to us something like this past year, be strong and take heart. And we go, well, what does that mean? We go, I don't know. But let's find out and let's do that together. And so often we're surprised and delighted by where it is that the Lord brings us in that year, because there's so many things that happen that we could never have accounted for in our normal lives. And when we enter into vision in a prescriptive way, it means like we have this kind of closed agenda. Here's all the things that we need to hit in order to be successful Christian boys and girls by the end of the year. And if we've hit all these markers, great. But then real life happens to us, right? Like things that we did not anticipate. And it breaks us out of this kind of performative way of living, or this descriptive way that this is what life is supposed to be in Jesus. And we begin to open up to say, God, how does this actually look like in these moments of tragedy, in these unexpected triumphs, in these normal, everyday, mundane, in the unexpected? Like, what does it look like for you to actually move in these moments? And so this became kind of the rallying cry for 2023, to be strong and take heart. And so as we do frequently, the first series of the year was an opportunity for us to center on Jesus in a series called The Human God. And in this series, we allowed the Gospel of Mark to kind of guide us through the story of Jesus. And I talked about my ambivalence towards the Gospel of Mark as a Lord of the Rings fan. Like, once the extended editions came out of each of the movies, the theatrical editions did not exist to me anymore. Why would you only sit down for a 2-hour and 15-minute film when you could sit down for a 3-hour and 45-minute film? It just makes sense. And Mark feels like the theatrical release, whereas Matthew is like the extended edition. But what I was pleased to discover is like, oh no, there's something like economic about the way that Mark tells the story of Jesus that's so clear and precise and to the point. I was like, this is like, it's like filet mignon. You know, it's like, it's a small cut, but it's really lean. And the human God enabled us to sit in this mystery of who Christ is as fully God, all in, all the time, and fully human, all in, all the time. The next series that we did, we called Be Strong and Take Heart, and we examined these different spiritual movements that Henry Nouwen articulated throughout the course of his ministry and his writings, that, you know, our salvation is not just a one and done. You pray a prayer, you twiddle your thumbs for 60, 70, 80 years, and then you just go to heaven when you die. But there's actually a specificity to what salvation looks like in each of our lives, specifically in the world in which we were saved from. Like, what was the condition of our hearts when we first met God? And we talked about a lot of things there. We talked about, how do we move from worry to prayer? How do we move from sorrow to joy? How do we move from isolation to community? How do we move from loneliness into true, perfect, and good solitude? And the more that we can articulate those spiritual movements in our lives and engage in the kinds of disciplines that help us to get there, we begin to realize how tenderly and specifically God chooses to enter into each one of our stories, even though we're all coming from a slightly different place, and to help move the plot forward. Now, the next series that we did was called A Pilgrimage of Unfolding Grace. There's a chance for me to sell several more copies of my book. But you're still with me. Good. It was an opportunity to continue to move outward. When we're looking at, we center on the God revealed in Jesus. We look at our interior life as we're constantly being saved by co-conspiring with the Spirit of Jesus. And we started to look outward and say, well, what does this calling on each of our lives look like? And we believe that the more that we examine our story with the Father, our personality in the light of Christ, and our gifts according to the Holy Spirit, that as those things kind of sit and mingle, we begin to recognize each of us have an individual calling that arises from that space. So how do we articulate those things to ourselves and to the Lord to know what our calling is? And for many of you, you're recognizing, my vocation is not my calling. Because I could move from job to job, but I'm still the same person. And I still bring this same story that I have with God wherever I go. And if I can name that bit of me, that helps me to actually understand what my calling is. And then, of course, finally, we moved into this series, In the Name of Jesus, where at first we were looking at discussing like ethics and saying, there's a problem within the Christian household where many of us grew up in a behavior modification culture where it was a lot of rules, and it's do this and don't do that, which Paul is actually very critical of. But many of us, in the name of supposed freedom and using kind of the American definition of freedom as like, I get to do and be whatever I want to do and whatever I want to be, we left behind legalism. All the rules and the regulations, and you got to do these things, and there wasn't a lightning bolt that came out of heaven to like strike you down, and you realize, wow, I can do whatever I want. And so you go out in the name of freedom, and you do whatever you want, and then you realize, I still don't feel fulfilled. And I feel far from Jesus, and I don't feel fully myself in this place of anything goes understanding of freedom and ethics. And so then we begin to incline our ear to the Lord, and we realize that so much of what God is inviting us to live, the way that God is inviting us to live, it's not a list of do's and don'ts, but it's actually about formation of our moral character, and that we're being shaped to think, feel, and act more like Jesus day by day. And so Paul warns us time and again of kind of the legalistic first move of life, but he warns us of that second freedom piece. We talked about how he says, you might say, I can do anything I want. He says, everything's permissible, but not everything's beneficial, which ignites within each one of us a deeper invitation to say, well, what is actually beneficial? Am I craving somebody just to give me a bunch of rules that I can either conform to or rebel against? Or am I actually asking the deepest questions of the Spirit to be formed, to think more like Jesus, to feel more like Jesus, and to act more like Jesus? And then we kind of pivoted to a lot of issues of justice. We talked about racism and classism and sexism. We talked about creation. We talked about our interaction with the poor. We talked about Jesus' redefinition of neighbor and saying, well, there's a lot of discussion in this space in our world today that feels very, very confusing and daunting and overwhelming because we're more allegiant to our political parties than we are to Jesus. And we've outsourced a lot of the really radical vision of what justice means in God's kingdom through the scripture. And we've abdicated it to the donkey or the elephant or whatever and let them define that thing. Sometimes we wheedle Jesus in there. We kind of put a Jesus stamp of approval on our political party. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that happen before. But we find that we're like quickly kind of just in a disarray. And how do we come back to what is God's heart for humanity? What is God's heart for creation itself? And how do we reorient our showing up in the world? And we finished it off last week by talking about the imperative of hope, that if we don't have hope, there's no point in us participating in any of that stuff. And we may as well just twiddle our thumbs and wait until we just kind of are zapped off to heaven. So that's kind of where we went in our different series this year. Some notable events and numbers. We love numbers. One thing that we've been kind of like emphasizing over the past several years, especially post-pandemic, is that we believe that community groups are really, that's the place where it happens. I love the Sunday thing. I assume you do too. That's why you're here. I love when we get together and we sing together and we pour over scripture. But like, this is the beginning of a conversation. This isn't the end of one. And it's what we take with us into our community through the week, where we're really talking about things, we're pouring over scripture, we're meditating on it together, where we're praying with one another, we're sharing meals. That's really where the thing happens. And it was amazing to recognize, kind of entering into this fall season, that we have 80 people signed up for community groups in a church that I'd say is probably like 150, 160. So more than half of our church are in community groups. And I think that's phenomenal. That's very rare. Nationwide, according to the statistics. And I think that commends you for recognizing being a Christian is not something I do for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning to kind of check a box and then I'm good. That's the old way of thinking and that needs to die. But saying, no, there's this ongoing journey of discovery. And I need people alongside of me who are on that journey with me, or else I'm going to find myself straying from the path. We had three baptisms this year, which was really amazing. And we dedicated three babies. We're kind of like in a baby boom, baby wave, invasion. I don't know what you want to call it. But they're on their way, and we really need to figure out how to take care of them. Our elders got together in May, and they prayed and really asked the Lord. Like, one of the things we realized, like, with elders and myself, like, none of us are naturally vision. How many of you are, like, just future vision-oriented people? You love big picture thinking. Yeah. You're like, boom, yeah, let's go. That's not us. So like, how do we do this? So the elders got together in May and they really sat down and asked the Lord, like, what are like three things that we really need to focus on as a community as we're continuing to build, because what we believe God is doing here is good. And so the three things were really investing in our kids, reestablishing our outreach relationships, and finding a church building. So we're in the process right now to hire a kids and family pastor. It's been going really well. We've had some wonderful candidates, and we're hoping to bring that person in at the beginning of January to really say, we believe our kids are important. They're not like an aside. They're not kind of like this extra thing, and it's not just about babysitting them so parents can get an hour and a half break, but we believe that they are part of this community and they belong. With our outreach, we've reestablished our connections. We sent our first team back to Lima, Peru, to participate with our church family there in La Viña. And so every year we want to go back and continue to support them in the work that they're doing. We've partnered with Orlando Children's Church, monthly showing up to just really spend time with these kids who come from underserved communities in Orlando, you know, offering them breakfast, kind of playing games with them, teaching them the way of Jesus. And then with one more child, especially the work that they do in human sex trafficking, like women that are coming out of abusive situations or situations where they've been trafficked, helping them to start a new life and kind of rebuild what has been taken from them. Like the scripture says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and God intends to restore things that are happening there. So that's a couple of things, like in a practical sense, that are that we're working on, that are on the horizon. We're going to continue looking into that building piece. And then finally, what do I, as I've been sitting with this, what do I perceive the Lord's been doing in our community? Because I love the numbers. I love the stats. I think that's great. But it's really, what's the thing beneath the thing? And as I've sat with many of you this year, I've recognized in you, and I've recognized in myself, that there's an invitation to what I think is a sometimes painful detachment from what we might call worldly living, to wondering if Jesus' way is actually the best way. And I think it comes back to that idea of like construction, deconstruction, reconstruction, or whatever you want to call those kind of three movements of life that for many of us who grew up within the Christian household, we developed a sense of who God is, of who we are, how the world works. And at some point that no longer served us. It felt too small or too constricting or whatever it might be. It might be a legalistic view, or it might be like a punitive God or whatever it is. And so we broke free from that constriction. in the name of deconstruction or disillusionment, whatever you want to call it. But then there became a second disillusionment in that. And I think that's where a lot of you have found yourselves. I think that's where I found myself in a lot of things, is saying, well, the second movement of life, this also doesn't feel like it's any more satisfying than the first. And we begin from that place, I think, to incline our ear towards Jesus and say, well, what if his ways really are the best ways of living? And contending with some of those things that we've done to ourselves and other people in the name of freedom, to say perhaps the ways of God are higher than our ways. But that invitation to have that radically high ideal of what life can be with Jesus is the very thing that I need in order to reconstruct all over again and to enter into life as it is, to a desire to take God at God's word. I think God is still bringing us people who hunger, but know that the old ways aren't working. I've heard this several times from people that I've just happened to talk with over the past couple months, like friends in ministry or people who know Orlando well, and they continue to prophesy over you, to say, City Beautiful Church seems to be relatively unique in its ability to meet people who are deconstructing or disillusioned and to point them towards Jesus. And I don't have my finger on the pulse of what's happening in the church all the time in our city, but that's what I'm hearing from the outside. People are saying, these are the people that are attracted to what you are doing at City Beautiful. And that's a commendation to all of you, because you've been walking this path and you've had to shed some old ways of thinking, but you've also had to learn a really healthy skepticism about some of the new ways of thinking, to say, putting all that aside, what does it actually mean to be faithful to Jesus? And do I believe that he is actually good enough, that the way he's calling me to live my life is what is truly best for me? And so, with that being said, I want to remind you of this line in Psalm 40, which I think is so profound. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. So like I said, there's something when we tell stories out of our own lives, out of our own experiences, to say, this is what God has done for me. This is what God has done through me. This is what God has done around me. It awakens something in each of us to say, oh, we're not just talking about interesting ideas. We're not just talking about abstracts. We're talking about real lives and people actually encountering the Lord in this. And so I'm going to give you 2 minutes. And this is the question kind of flowing from Psalm 40 that I want you to meditate on. What wonders and deeds has the Lord done for me in 2023? So I'm going to give you 2 minutes. I want you to take out your phone. I'm going to start up a new note. And I want you to just really take the time to sit there and say, Lord, what have you done for me or through me in 2023 that is worthy of being spoken out in testimony? So I'll give you 2 minutes to consider that. All right. So remember, we're remembering, we're recalling what was true in the past, but in this way that we're bringing that truth into the present so that it can be reenacted, where it can be reconstituted for this moment. And so I'm going to, with great trepidation, of course, invite some of you forward to share. It's always a little bit of a gamble. You never know what you're going to get. The one safe guard that I have is I hold the microphone, you don't. So you get 3 heresies and then you're out. So these are some of the guidelines that we talk about here for testimony. Number one, you're telling what God has done and is doing in your life. This is a really important, I think, reimagining, because, you know, we've talked a lot about this idea of the interventionist God that many of us grew up with. Like, I'm just kind of ambling through time and space, and then like every once in a while God showed up and did the thing, and then he like kind of went back up on the mountain like Zeus. So when we give testimony, unfortunately a lot of times we just tell what we're doing and then God makes a cameo. And it's a reorientation for us to recognize, like, we're the ones that are making a cameo in God's story. Like, we're here for a moment. but this is continually what the heart of God on display through creation. So try to reorient to what God has done is doing in your life. Wait your turn, Mary. Avoid extraneous details. Some of you all love to talk. Not a lot of you, because there's a lot of introverts in this church, but some of you, you love to talk. So when you're talking, think about what actually needs to be shared and what maybe like confuses the narrative. And then try to game and keep it to 2 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes in total. And finally, what I would say, like, it's, I think one of the reasons that testimony is hard for us is because it becomes like competitive, like who's got the biggest story. And that's not what we're doing here. Like, we don't compete, like, who has the best God story, or we don't compare what God's done in our life, go, well, oh gosh, it wasn't nearly as fantastic as what happened in so-and-so's life, so that's not worthy of me sharing. Like, we don't do that. Like, any evidence of the fingerprint of God in our lives is worthy to be praised. And it's through the tapestry of what God does in each of us, whether it's like the most out there miraculous thing or the most practical, seemingly smallest revelation that has changed your life. Like, all of it belongs. So with that being said, I'm going to open it up. And it's always the first is the hardest. We'll pretend like somebody's already come up. And let's all applaud. That was really, wow. That was so moving. Who could top that? What? You go? Okay. Daniel and Kaylee, come on up. She does. Okay.
Okay. Hi. Okay, so if you couldn't tell, I'm very, very pregnant.
Allegedly.
I don't know. And earlier this year, so when we found out, we were doing just like routine ultrasounds, and I think I was about 13 weeks pregnant at the time. We were doing an ultrasound, and the ultrasound tech was being very quiet, and I was like, you know, I had had her with my first, so I kind of knew how she behaved. And then at the end of it, she goes, "Who's your doctor?" And I told her. She was like, "Okay, she'll be right in." And I was like, "Something's up." So we kind of sat in the room, and I was like, you know, panicking. Daniel was my voice of reason, assuring me to be calm. And then my doctor came in. She was like, "Oh, Kaylee, something's wrong." And I was like, "Okay, like, tell me what it is." And so they showed the picture, and essentially the baby's intestines were coming out of her belly. At the time, I didn't know it was a girl, but the intestines were coming out of the belly, and they were like, "We believe it's an omphalocele," which typically leads to a lot of other issues. So there's a lot of potential genetic abnormalities and things like that come with that. So they were like, "We want to get you in." This was a Thursday. The timeline feels important, but this was a Thursday. They were like, "We want to get you in with the high risk doctor either Friday or Monday." We didn't end up actually being able to get an appointment till the following Wednesday. So we had to go through kind of the agony of not knowing what was going on for a week. And so that's kind of where I want to let him add any of how he was feeling during this time too, so it's not just me.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling to know that there is something wrong, but I like what you said, that testimony like gives us this kind of out for anxiety to in a good way, to know that God can move. We've heard so many good stories in City Beautiful of like actual physical healing. So my mind immediately was like, well, the Lord's going to heal her. I don't know when or how, but I can't help but believe that he will. And it was scary, but I kind of let Kaylee do the anxious thing. And I just decided to be like the steadfast, like, God's going to heal her. And if he doesn't, I'm still going to, you know, praise him.
Yeah, and I think that that's kind of the work that the Lord was doing for me. So that Sunday ended up being the message. One, it was Mother's Day. So I was going through this all trying to be present to my almost one-year-old daughter, not knowing what was going to happen to the baby inside me. And the message was from sorrow to joy. So it was a doozy. But I feel like what the Lord was doing in me was working on my sense of entitlement, like trying to, like, I'm not entitled to anything, not even a healthy baby. And I'm going to love the Lord. I'm going to love this baby no matter what the outcome is, whether she passes, whether she has complications. So the Lord was really doing that within me. But I remember that Sunday, me, Daniel, Katie, we're all sitting front row, like sobbing at Audubon Church. I think our service was at Audubon that Sunday. And we were just crying out to the Lord and just like really sitting in the sorrow. So then Wednesday rolls along, our appointment, and they had us meet with a genetic counselor first. So we were meeting with the genetic counselor, basically getting all of our options of how they were going to like test the amniotic fluid and all of that, and if we wanted to do that and the risks associated with that. So we sat there for an hour like, okay, we have a lot of options. Like, what do we want to do? What do we feel comfortable with? Because there's risk of losing the baby with those kind of tests as well. So there was like so many pros and cons. And then we had an ultrasound. So they did the ultrasound. We were not asking questions because we know they can't answer them. So we were just sitting there patiently. And the doctor walks in and he goes, okay, so what did they tell you, you know, at your first appointment? I kind of gave him the rundown. He goes, okay, well, today we see nothing. The intestines are in the belly. It's sealed up. Your baby is okay. And we just started laughing. Like, I feel like it was just joy, just exploded, because we had been sitting with this heaviness of like, okay, like no matter what, we will be faithful unto the Lord with this baby. And so we were just giddy. And I remember I FaceTimed Katie right away and I was like, she's okay. And she goes, I had a vision on Sunday when we were singing that the Lord just like centimeter by centimeter was pushing the intestines back in. And I said, I literally had the same vision at the same time. And then I called my mom to tell her, and she goes, the baby was healed on Sunday. The Lord told me on Sunday that the baby had been healed. And so it was just this like miraculous, I don't know, I can't even explain the feeling, but yeah.
And y'all are a testament to this too. We're talking to Ryan and he's like, I really would love to get the church praying. And I was like, yeah, I mean, we have no idea what's happening, but it'd be worth it. And the joy that I've felt in that appointment, felt so communal in just like such a good way. Like, not only do we have our community group praying, you know, Katie seeing like visions of the Lord healing, but we had like a church community that I knew because they were messaging in Slack and texting us like, I am praying for healing. And so that like moment of relief was so crazy because it was like so personal and so communal. So thank you, all of you, for praying.
Love it. Thanks, guys. And this baby's due any minute, so. Let's see. Who's next?
None of us want to be up here, so we're trying to get it out of the way.
That's good. That's very faithful to the Lord.
I know. You're welcome. But as I just said, I have found out the couple of times I've been up on this stage, I don't really like it up here, but I'm going to do my best. So I'm already feeling a little emotional just thinking about the way that the Lord has been here for us as a family. When we first moved to Florida, Jonathan and I had some memories come back of being molested as a little girl, which I am just starting to get a little more comfortable sharing in community. And my biggest fear with those memories was I felt like before that I was in a really good place with the Lord. And my fear was, how do you go to dark places and find him? Like, how do you find the Lord in places of such sorrow and pain? And that's where I felt like really strongly I needed to come up here, because we became part of this church as I was working through that, and I had no idea the impact that this community would make on me in that time. We joined Katie's small group, and just being able to share that in a safe place with people that were so for me, and then just other friends I've created in the community, be praying for me, it was amazing the way that the Lord started revealing himself, and I started going to counseling, and I told my counselor, like, my biggest thing is, like, I'm scared to go here because right now, like, I think I'm convinced that the Lord is good, but what if I find out he's not good? Like, I can't picture a good father there in those moments. And the thing that was so sweet was how community just started revealing God's goodness to me. I know one of the things that I started remembering in that time is I'd have these dreams as a little girl, like while this was going on, that I was sitting on like a log and this lion would just come and rest next to me in these dreams. And it was like this beautiful place. And one of the girls in our small group said that she had dreams around that like same age where she saw a little girl sitting on a bench and a lion around. And I think like that's just one of the ways that God, sorry, I'm like, it's hard to share this. Yeah, and this makes me out of breath naturally. Yeah, and so her saying that she'd have dreams where she's witnessing this happen, and it's somebody that I didn't know at the time, and that in itself is like, man, like, God was in this community he would surround me with long before I even knew these people. And the more that I started pressing in and digging into these deep places, the more I started realizing that my answers of God's goodness is not actually found in and answers, and I don't know, I might not know until the other side of heaven, like, how to understand a good God in those moments. But one thing I've just become convinced of being in this community as I've pressed through those hard things is that you will find that God is good. And then I think Psalm 131, it talks about how it says, I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother, a weaned child, I am content. And I think what I have found in all this is what I do believe is on the other side of these hard things where I don't have answers, I'll find that there's a God with things too wonderful for me on the other side of it. And so I just, like, I would not have been able to get there without this community surrounding me. And yeah, so that is what I wanted to share. And I'm so glad that this is done now, but thank you guys for being there for me in that. That's great.
Fullers. Of course. Of course.
So Mari's just going to talk and you guys can translate yourself. Mari was born on May 1st and she was... Yeah, she was 5 pounds, 14 ounces. She was a very small baby for a full term baby. And about 6.5 weeks later, she was only 6 pounds and 14 ounces. She had only gained a pound. And that is just not good. We didn't know what was happening. We didn't know if it was an issue with her and her ability to gain weight. And it was terrifying. We went from thinking that everything was okay, that we just had a small baby, to like being told that like, no, we need to hospitalize her. But they gave us 24 hours to see if we could help her gain like any sort of weight. And we kind of had to set up an appointment with a specialist, and then we were given like 4 days instead of like a day because of the time it took to see the specialist. And when we saw the specialist, she had gained a pound in 5 days, which is just like a miracle. And in between then, we were just so in awe about how the community came around us and just like was praying for her and praying for her health, praying for her ability to just like just gain weight and for there to be no issues. And we weren't expecting anything. The specialist was was in shock. She was expecting a couple ounces of gain, and she gained an entire pound. And then she just kept packing it on. We just found out like a week and a half ago that she's now overweight for her age, which is amazing. So we just wanted to thank you guys for coming around us, because amongst other things, I ended up 2 months into unpaid leave, like losing my job, and this community has blessed us in more ways than one, financially, prayerfully, and we're just so thankful for you guys and our family. Yeah. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'll add. So before we found out how underweight she was, we had community group. Yeah, I'll pass. Just so she doesn't stick it in her mouth. We had community group at our house. This was before we found out she was so underweight, and Hunter was trying to put Mari to sleep, and we were like praying, and I got this word from the Lord that Mari was going to be okay. And in that moment, I just thought, oh, the Lord's just saying that Mari's going to sleep well tonight, and you know, that's it. But then when we found out her situation, that moment just meant so much more to me, and it helped me get through that time. And I shared that with Hunter, and we just, we had a feeling that the Lord was with us, and that he can sometimes give us words or phrases before, they apply to our lives. So just wanted to share that, and ditto everything Hunter said. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. How are we doing for time? Maybe like one more.
Hi, guys. So I started coming to City Beautiful kind of consistently in January. I did not think I was going to get emotional. I'm getting emotional. I'm allowed. Great. I started coming here consistently at the beginning of January. I kind of, what you were talking about earlier with like the phases and deconstruction and all of that, had gone through kind of a 2-year period of like not really knowing what I believed about God, if I believed in God, where my like the faith tradition that I had grown up in, like pretty much any like a lot of my belief had kind of shattered, not because of who God was, but because of like this idea that I was raised around as far as what to believe about who God was that wasn't necessarily true. And I started coming here out of like kind of an invitation from a friend, and found like a community of people, specifically our little small group, shout out Kate, that has like kind of been able to sit with me in a way through like a lot of my frustrations and questions and struggles with what do I do with this thing that I was raised in, and what do I actually believe about God now? And I think God, I truly believe that God like guided these people into my life to be like this window into a God that I didn't necessarily experience growing up, and into like who he truly is. And they've been so patient and so kind and shown me like such, what real community is supposed to look like, in the highs and lows. Like, we are there cheering each other on regardless. And it has been, just the best part of this year. And I cannot, I have to credit God with orchestrating all of that in a way that I didn't expect. And I don't think any of us expected, maybe. And so that's all I wanted to share, but thanks.
Love it. You can actually stay up here. I'm going to invite the rest of the praise team to come forward. It's if we don't tell stories, it's just a bunch of ideas, right? Like, some of them are really neat ideas, you know? What is God, and what is transubstantiation, and that's cool. And, you know, like, they're really great ideas, but like until we begin to tell stories and then we actually get woven into each other's stories and we participate in the reality of God together, like it's just a bunch of great ideas. And great ideas don't save the world, you know, but relationship does. Relationship with the Lord, relationship with one another. And it's through this kind of weaving together, we become that little colony of heaven that we so consistently talk about, that are showing like this is what it looks like when humanity lives under the kingship of our Lord Jesus. So I want to invite you to stand. I'm going to pray, and we're going to worship. You know, we want to be a maximalist community in the sense that like whatever brings us to the Lord, we're going to do it. We're going to sing songs. We're going to worship. We're going to give testimony. We're going to pour over scripture. We're going to pray together. We're going to participate in silence. We're going to champion solitude. We're going to champion community. Like everything that we have at our disposal as followers of Jesus, we want it to its fullness. And so as we're worshiping, I just want you to continue to reflect, like what have you heard today that has enlightened something in your heart to know that God is true, and that God is with us and he is for us. So let's pray together and worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the incredible stories in this community of your steadiness and your love. Lord, we pray for more storytelling. We pray for people to find their voices, to be able to speak out what they have seen, what they have heard, what they have testified to in your goodness, so that we all might be encouraged to incline our ear to hear your voice, to open our eyes to see you move in our stories. And God, as we finish out this year, I pray that we would have just that sweet spirit of remembrance to recall what has been true in the past, to make it true again in the future, so that we can see it, all of this, in its fullness, in the new heavens and the new earth. And we pray all of this in the strong and the blessed name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's worship.
This has been the City Beautiful Church podcast. To stay connected, follow us on social everywhere at City Beautiful CH. We hope you join us again soon.